Mas Meir Chanan ben Rav Mordechai Ziskin, Gittel Bas Yitzchak Tzvi, Avram Yitzchak Epstein, and Gershon Henoch ben Yosef Eliezer. We begin on Yud Aleph and Beis, three lines up. We were discussing the Shita of Beis Shammai, who said that to be Mekadesh a woman, you must give her a minimum of a dinar. And we had asked, what's the reason that Beis Shammai insists upon a dinar? Why not just a pruta? So Resh Lakish suggested that perhaps Beis Shammai arrives at their conclusion that you need a dinar to mekadesh a woman based on the fact that we find with regard to an Amma Evriya, the notion of Giraon Kesef. If a person purchases a maidservant, a Jewish maidservant, an Amma Evriya, so he has to allow for her to buy back her freedom if she so chooses and is so able to. We explain what that means is, if he gave initially $600 for a six-year term of service, 3 years go by, she wants to buy back her freedom, so she's got to pay $300 to buy her freedom back from the person who purchased her. So the Gemara we saw yesterday argued as follows. It seems like you have to be able to pay back, you know, a fraction of the original purchase price based on how much time she worked, how much unused, so to speak, value from the purchase price remains. So if the initial purchase price was only a pruta, there's no small denomination in pruta. How could you pay back a fraction of a pruta? It must be the initial purchase price is a minimum of a dinar. Ah, so if that's the case, that by Amma Evriya, the minimum purchase price is a dinar, and therefore it's possible to pay back whatever outstanding amount remains from the balance of the purchase price, so too by Kedusha Isha as well, the minimum amount that you give for Kedushin must be dinar, not a pruta. So the Gemara asks on that explanation, third last line, Yud Aleph Mebeis, the Dilma Hachika Amar Rachmana, maybe the Torah just means as follows, Hecha di Yahav La Dinar, in the event that you initially purchased her for a dinar, Tigara Ad Pruta. Okay, so then you can buy back her freedom by giving the owner a fraction of the original dinar purchase price, such as a pruta or whatever fraction amount of the purchase price he or she has to pay back. Whereas hecha di yahav la pruta, but if the initial purchase price is only a pruta, lo tigar klal, maybe in those circumstances, you're right, there would not be the possibility of buying back her freedom after a number of years go by, because there's no small denomination to pay back if the initial purchase price is only a pruta. So you can't prove, the Gemara is asking, that the initial purchase price must have been a dinar. Maybe all the Torah is saying is, in the event that you paid a dinar or more initially, okay, then you have the option of buying back your freedom after some time goes by paying back the unused portion of the purchase price. Whereas if you only paid initially a pruta, so there's no small denomination in a pruta, fine, then you can't buy back her freedom after time goes by. Maybe that's the pshat the Gemara says. Top of the Amud, Yibayz Amud Aleph. And says, the Gemara, lo, so kadaitach. You can't assume that's pshat in the halach here. Why not? Dumya de yiud. Because we compare this din to the din of yiud. Yiud means that when a man purchases an Amma Evriya, he has the right to marry her in a process known as yiud, without giving her any additional money for purposes of Kedushin. He can simply say as follows, I paid for you $600 for 6 years of service. 3 years have gone by. You have 3 years left on the contract, so to speak, to work for me. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, I have $300 now of outstanding value that I paid for that I haven't gotten worked for yet. So instead of you working for the remaining 3 years, I'll marry you, and the outstanding balance of $300 will go towards your Kesef Kedushin. That's roughly how the process of a yud works. So the Gemara says, so based on that din is like this. Ma yud, just like when it comes to the process of yud. The owner has the option, has the choice. He can choose to marry the Amavriya. He can choose not to marry the Amavriya. But nonetheless, if there isn't a possibility of Yiud, then the purchase initially is not valid altogether. In other words, the halacha is that although the owner doesn't have an obligation to marry the Amavriya, but the initial purchase of the Amavriya has to be one that provides the potential for him to marry her. So that's why, Rashi, for example, the father of the girl who's selling her as an Amavriya can't sell her to a close relative who is an erva to her, because then there's no allowance for the possibility of him marrying her. And you don't have the possibility of Iyud, the sale is not valid. So the Gemara says, so Hachanami, see here too also by this process of Giraon Kesef, of buying back your freedom by paying off the remaining balance of the purchase price, the same idea is true. If all you're going to do is pay a pruta initially for the purchase of the Amavriya, such that you can't possibly do Giraon Kesef, lo havu zvina zvini, that sale is invalid. So what we're saying is that the initial purchase of Amavriya must be one that allows for the process of Giraon Kesef, and therefore you can't purchase her just for a pruta, because you can't break down a pruta into small denominations. That's how Beis Shammai knows that the initial purchase of the Amavriya must be for minimum a dinar. And the Gemara now concludes, V'kedusha yisha le Beis Shammai nachkulume Amavriya. Once you come to that conclusion, Beis Shammai argues that we derive kedusha yisha from Amavriya. Ma amah ha'avriya reputa lo mekanya. Just like in Amavriya, you cannot purchase her for just a pruta, because that doesn't allow for the possibility of gira on kesef. So too, when it comes to kedushin of a woman, Beis Shammai argues that you can't be mekadesh a woman for a pruta, because that doesn't match up with the din of Ama Ivriya. So the Gemara asks, even so, that Beis Shammai derives from Ama Ivriya that you cannot be mekadesh a woman for just a pruta, the same way you cannot purchase an Ama Ivriya for just a pruta. But how does that then lead you to jump to, oh, it must be a dinar at least? The aim of palga the dinar, the aim of shtei prutos. Just because you can't purchase an Amavriya for a pruta, so who says that that means you have to purchase her for a minimum of a dinar? Maybe you can purchase her for half a dinar. Maybe you can purchase her for two prutos. And if so, by kedushin also. Maybe you can give two prutos for kedushin. Maybe you can give a half a dinar for kedushin. Answers the Gemara, kevan da'afik temi pruta. Once you've reached the conclusion that you cannot the mekadesh her for just a pruta, ukma dinar. The Mela Beis Shammai said, you know what? We'll insist then upon a dinar. Rashi explains, because we need some chashivas, and a dinar is a chashuv amount. So if you can't any longer be mekadesh for pruta, so then we'll insist upon the next chashuv amount up, which is a dinar. So this is how Rish Lakish explains Beis Shammai's shita. They essentially derive kedusha isha from the purchase of an amavriya. In both cases, a pruta doesn't work, so therefore you need a dinar. Rabbi gives another pshat for Beis Shammai. Hi, no time to Beis Shammai. This is why Beis Shammai insists upon a dinar for kedushin. Shelo yehu benos Yisrael kehefker. Because Beis Shammai don't want the possibility to exist for a woman to be married off with just a pruta. Pruta is like the cheapest card you can find. And if a guy can marry a woman for a pruta, it's just easy come, easy go, just kind of like, you know, cheap merchandise almost. So therefore, the chachamim, Beis Shammai said, Midrabanan decided to disqualify any kedushin less than a dinar, which means, according to Rava, that the din of Beis Shammai that you can only be mekadesh woman for a dinar is not a din d'oraisa. Midoraisa, we're saying now, and a chanami, pruta would work. Midrabanan, Chazal said, we don't like that, because people will start to think of women and kedushin as being kind of easy commerce. They won't respect it enough. And therefore, Chazal Midrabanan disqualified any kedushin less than a dinar. And they insisted Midrabanan that every kedushin must be minimum a dinar. So people shouldn't adopt the attitude of, oh, easy come, easy go, you know, star, kehefker. That's why Midrabanan, according to Rava, Beis Shammai says that you can't be mekadesh for less than a dinar. So whereas Reish Lakish said that it's a din d'oraisa, that Beis Shammai derives kedusha isha from the purchase of a mevriya, and it can't be done for a pruta, Rav is saying no, it's a din d'rabbanan. Reish Rabbanan, we insist upon minimum a dinar, not a pruta. Two dots. The Beis Hillel omer b'pruta. Beis Hillel says that you can be mekadesh a woman for the value of a pruta. Sabar Rav Yosef and Neymar. Yosef thought to say, pruta kol dehu. Whatever the weight of the copper pruta coin is at any given time, that's the minimum amount that you need for kedushin. Rashi explains, you know, sometimes you might have a generation or a time when the pruta they use is a little bit less in terms of its weight in copper. Sometimes you might have a generation or a time when the pruta in use as the minimum denomination is a little bit more in terms of its weight in copper. And it wasn't an exact science, argues of Yosef. You know, generations come, generations go, and the pruta value might have fluctuated a little bit based on the given weight of the copper and the pruta based on the generation. So whatever it happens to be at any given time and place, that's what the minimum amount for kedushin has to be according to Beis Hillel.
So nowadays, since we hold like Beis Hillel, it could be a penny.
So it's a good question. I, you know, Poskim, you know, tried to calculate the weight of the pruta and what that value would be today. It comes out to be very, very minimal. Yeah, very, very minimal. Correct.
I'd love to see it. Her reaction in under a chuppah.
Not a good one.
Oh, I was only kidding. Here's the real ring.
So,
yeah.
Oh my, by asks of Yosef, how could you say that it depends upon the generation and it could fluctuate somewhat in value? But we learned a brisa. I'm sorry, the Mishnah says with regard to this din, kama hi pruta, echad mishmona ve'isar hitalki. The Mishnah itself said, how much is a pruta? It's 1/8 of the isar hitalki. So doesn't that imply that there's a set value and it doesn't fluctuate based on the generation? The Chitema, maybe you'll tell me in response, Abai says to Yosef, Hanavili Bidor Shal Moshe, that when the Mishnah defined a pruta as being 1/8 of an Issar Hatalki, that was the original value in Moshe Rabbeinu's generation. Avalacha Kedachash Vilhu Lenchi, and maybe of Yosef, you're correct, that nowadays depends on the given value in any given generation, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less, but that can't be, says Abai. Bahaki Asar Avdimi Amar, when Avdimi came, he said, Shi'er Rabbi Simoi Bidoro, kama hi pruta, echad mishmona be'isar haitaki. Avdimi calculated in his generation how much is the pruta worth, and he said it's 1/8 of the isar haitaki. V'chi asa Rabin, and when Rabin came, Amar he said, Rabbi Dustoi, Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Oshia, Shiaru, kama hi pruta, echad Mishisha b'isar hataki. Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Dustoi, Rabbi Oshia, they argued that a pruta is 1/6 of an isar hataki. So what Abai is asking of Yosef is that you can't say that it depends upon the generation, and that the amount of the pruta fluctuates slightly based on whatever the weight is in that given generation. It seems like Rabbi Simoi and Rav Dimi, well, it seems like Rabbi Simoi as quoted by Rav Dimi, and Rabbi Dustoi, as quoted by Rabin, both had like a very, very specific definition of the value of a pruta. And if it's less than that, then the kedushin is not valid. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosef, it seemed like, no, whatever the pruta is in any given generation, that's how much the pruta is for kedushin purposes. Yet these Amoraim are saying, no, if the pruta doesn't equal in its weight this amount, no good. So clearly, this is a kasha on Rav Yosef. So Amalei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said to Abaye, you're telling me that the pruta has to be a fixed weight? Yach, if that's true, hainu de tanina. Well then, the Braisa in Toras Kahanim says as follows. Tzei v'chashov kama prutos b'shnei slime. The Braisa in Toras Kahanim says, go calculate how many prutos are there in two slime. Yosef me'alpayim, more than 2,000. Says Rav Yosef to Abaye, Hashta apayim lahavya. According to you, that the pruta has a very fixed value, either it's 8 prutas to the Isser Etalki, or it's 6 prutas to the Isser Etalki. So then you don't even have 2,000 prutos in 2 slime. Yes, sir. Melpaim Karlu. How could the Bryce then say that there's more than 2,000 prutos in 2 slime? What Rav Yosef is suggesting is it must be that the pruta value fluctuates based on the weight of the coin in any given generation. So even though perhaps in our day, you don't even have close to 2,000 prutos in 2 slime, but maybe times of the Taras Kohanim, you did have more than 2,000 prutos in 2 slime. So the Gemara then says, Amar Lahu Husaba, who was an older man who then said to Rav Yosef and to Abaye, Ana Tanina La Karav La Paim. My guess in the Taras Kohanim is that there's close to 2,000 prutos in 2 slime, not more than 2,000 prutos in 2 slime. So the Gemara says, even so, even so, at the end of the day, Alpha the Chamesh Mea, Utlasin the Shisa, Udahavim. Even so, if you calculate that an Isser is always worth 1/8, if you calculate that a Pruta is always worth 1/8 of an Isser Etalki, the calculation then gives you 1,536 prutos in 2 slime. So why would the Braisa say that there's more than 2,000 prutos in 2 slime? Or according to your Gersa of the Husaba, why would the Braisa say that there's close to 2,000 prutos in 2 slime if the actual value is only 1,536 prutos in 2 slime? So the Gemara answer is Kevan dinafka lahu mipalga, because once you cross the 1,500 threshold, so it's more than halfway between 1,000 and 2,000, karvla paim karle, the Braisa could refer to the number as close to 2,000 prutos in 2 slime. So the bottom line is like this. Rav Yosef had argued the fact that the Braisa in Taras Kohanim says that there is more than 2,000 prutos in 2 slime must mean that the pruta isn't a fixed value of 8 prutos to an Isser. It must be that sometimes it is worth more, sometimes it's worth less. And that's how, given the fluctuation of value, you might have a time when there's more than 2,000 prutos in 2 slime. And the Gemara's reaction and response is that no, it could be the pruta is always worth 1/8 of an Isser Etalki. And even given that fixed value, it will come out that there's 1,536 prutos in 2 slime. And the Braisa therefore calls it close to 2,000 prutos in 2 slime. So therefore, there's no raya from here that the pruta value fluctuates. It could be like Abai was saying, it's machlokas, Ravdimi, and Ravin. Maybe it's 8 prutos to the Isser. Maybe it's 6 prutos to the Isser. But the value stays the same. That's what Abai was arguing to Rav Yosef. Okay. The Gemara now analyzes that statement. Gufa, we said before, Ki also Avdimi, when Avdimi came, Amar, he said, She'er Rabbi Simoi Bedor, Rabbi Simoi, in his generation, assessed, Kama hi pruta, how much is a pruta worth? Echad mishmona b'Isser Hataki. There's 8 prutas in the Isser Hataki. L'chi also Rabin Amar, when Rabin came, he said, She'eru Rabbi Destoy, Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Ushia. These Amorim calculated, Kama hi pruta, how much is a pruta? Echad mishisha b'Isser Hataki. 6 prutos to the Isser. Okay, so Machlokas, Ravin, and Ravdimi. Are there 8 prutos in the Isser or 6 prutos in the Isser? Amalei Abai l'Ravdimi. Abai says to Ravdimi, Neima at ve'Ravin v'plukta tahani tanoi k'mifligisu. Maybe you, Ravdimi, and Ravin are really arguing about the same Machlokas as the following Machlokas tanoim. The time because the Braisa says, Pruta shamru chachamim. And the chachamim speak of a pruta Echad mishmona b'Isser Hataki. That means it's 1/8 of the Isser. So it's 8 prutos to the Isser. Then the Braisa gives you the various denominations. Sheish ma'a kesef dinar. There are 6 ma'os of silver in the dinar. And ma'a shnei punjonin. and the ma'a is worth 2 punjonin, and punjon shnei isarin, and every punjon is worth 2 isarin, and iser shnei musmisim, every iser is worth 2 musmisim, and mismas shnei kuntronkin, every mismas is worth 2 kuntronkin, and kuntronk shnei prutos, every kuntronk is worth 2 prutos. So if you then add them up, nimsa comes out, pruta achas mishmona iser italki, that there are 8 prutos in the iser italki. So the Tanakhama holds 8 prutos to the iser. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer? No. Here's the breakdown. Shlosha hadrasin lema'a. 3 hadrasin in every ma'a. Shnei hanatsin lahadris. 2 hanatsin for every hadris. Shnei shamanin lahanetz. 2 shamanin for every hanetz. Beis prutos lashamin. 2 prutos for every sham. Nimsa pruta achas mishisha b'isar taki. That comes out then to be 6 prutos to the iser. So it seems like it's a machlokas Tanakama and a Mishnah Gamliel. Are there 8 prutos in the iser or 6 prutos in the iser? So the Gemara says that Abai says Chavadimi, Lema demar amar katanakama, Rabban damar kara Rabban Shimon Gamliel. So you and Rabban are basically taking sides in this machlokas Tanoim. And the Gemara answers, the Gemara answers, Amar lei, so Ravdimi answered, no, Bein didi bein Rabban, I'll leave it to Tanakama. Both I, Ravdimi says, and Rabban are really working within the sheet of Tanakama. Now the problem is Tanakama seems to say that there are 8 prutos within the Isser, and Rabban had said there's only 6 prutos to the Isser. So we look at Ashtana question. Had ikor isuri? Sometimes the Isser is worth more, so it's worth 8 prutos. Had zol isuri? Sometimes the Isser is worth less, so it's worth only 6 prutos. Hada ekor isure, when the iser is worth more, so it's worth 8 prutos, so kum esim v'arba v'zuza. So then it comes out that there are 24 isorim in a zuz, or in a dinar, Ashi says. Hada zol, when the iser is worth less, so then... it's worth only, I guess, 6 prutas. So kum tlosin utrein bezuza. Then it comes out that there's 32 isarim in the zuz. So did I say this correctly? Rashi says that. So the iser changes value. The iser changes value. The iser changes value. When the iser is worth more, you'll have 24 isarim in a dinar. When the iser is worth less, you'll have 32 isarim in a dinar. But really, we both agree that there's 8 prutos, like Tanakama said, in the iser haitalki, but the iser might change value, sometimes end up being 6 prutos, sometimes be 8 prutos. Okay. Fine. The Gemara says, moving now on from the calculations of the various denominations, getting back to some just halachos of Kedusha.
So geometry is over now.
I mean, right, the Kedushan version of geometry, right? Okay. So the Gemara says, Omar Shmuel says, Kidsha Bitamra. Let's say a man's mekadesh a woman for a date. No pun intended. Filu Omeid. Kur Tamar Bedinar, even if at that time you could purchase an entire kur, which is a huge amount of dates for one dinar. Now, by that calculation, clearly one date is not worth anywhere near the minimum value required for Kedushin. Even so, says Shmuel Mekudeshes, the Kedushin is valid. How could that be? Answers the Gemara, Hashinan Shema Shava Pruta B'madai. Even if right here, right now, dates are so cheap that there's not shavaputa in a date, but maybe somewhere far out where dates are hard to come by. Oh, luxury item. Taka, date is worth something. Maybe there it's worth a shavaputa. If so, this condition would be valid.
But it's not up to her to say, you know, I know it's worth only here, but I love you so much. I'm going to take it that way. That's her value.
So no, it's not. Apparently, what we're saying is that if we know that the prut, that this date is worth a pruta, even somewhere else, that's enough to say that here too. Even though right here I can't get that value for the prut, for the date, but here that would make this condition valid.
But let's say it's not worth, and it's worth the same everywhere. Everywhere.
Correct. Then if it's worth less than the pruta, no good.
So it doesn't depend at all on what say I think it's worth
right,
it for me.
Right.
Although we do this by hana, if she gets a certain kind of hana with
yeah, but then we assess the hana to be worth the pruta. But here
it's not worth. Okay, right. Right, so that's standard. Okay.
So as the Gemara says, asks Gemara, what's pshat? How could this be? You're worried that it's worth a pruta in Madai, even though it's not worth a pruta here. But the Mishnah says it's got to be worth a pruta. So how could Shmuel say, even if it's not worth a pruta, maybe it's worth a pruta somewhere else? But then you can never say it's not a kedushin then. How would you ever have a case where it's not a kedushin? So the Gemara says, Lokasha, haba kedushin vadai, haba kedushin safek. It still meant that if you want the kedushin to be vadai good, it's got to be worth a pruta. What Shmuel is saying is that even if it's not worth a pruta, so it's not a kedushin vadai, we're still choshesh that maybe it's a suffix kedushin. Because maybe somewhere else it is worth a pruta. So that's Shmuel's din. Shmuel says, another example, scenario. Hu gavra da'aktish bezavda du'urdi. There was a man who was makadish, a woman with some soft cloth bundled together. Yosef of Simi Brachi came to Rab. Simi Brachi was sitting with Rab. Kamayimba, and he was examining it. The Yisbosh of a Pruta in. If it's worth Pruta, then she's married. Elo, if it's not worth Pruta, lo, then she's not married. Sigma asks, unless Ba Shavar Pruta lo, is that true? That it's not worth a Pruta, then she's not married? But we just quoted Shmuel saying, Ramar Shmuel, Chashim. That maybe, if it was put to somewhere else, and therefore we should be choshesh that the kedushin is valid. So again, the Gemara says, lo kasha, ha big kedusha badai, ha big kedusha safek. I've seen Brachi was assessing whether it's worth a pruta here, so that he could determine whether it's a kedushin vadai or not. But you're right, in a chanami, if it's not worth a pruta here, at the very least, it will be then kedusha safek, maybe it's worth a pruta somewhere else. Third case.
Letting get married on a maybe?
Oh, so then what would happen is, if it's Kedushay Safek, yeah, then if someone else tries to marry her, we'll say not so fast. You know, might not be valid. You have to take into the possibility into account that maybe the first Kedushin was valid, second Kedushin's not. Maybe the first Kedushin wasn't valid, second Kedushin is. And you'd have to work with both possibilities. You'd have to insist that either the first guy married her again with a real pruta, or you'd have to insist that he give her a get just in case. You know, you have to cover your bases. Third scenario. A guy gave a woman some black marble stone as kedushin. Chista was trying to figure it out. It's worth a pruta, then she'll be married. And if not, not. So the Gemara says, is that true? It's not worth a pruta, she's not married. But Shmuel said that even if it's not worth a pruta, maybe it's worth a pruta somewhere else. That says the Gemara, Rav Chista lo savor le de Shmuel. Rav Chista rejects Shmuel's din. Shmuel said, if it's not worth a pruta here, maybe it's worth a pruta somewhere else, and we're choshish for kedushin. Chista said, no, it's not worth a pruta, it's not worth a pruta, she's not married, period. Meaning, according to Rav Chista, if someone else were to come and marry her afterwards, the second guy's marriage would be chal. We're not worried about the first guy's marriage being valid. Shmuel would say, no, not so fast, we gotta take both into account. Chista says, no, if it's not worth a pruta, the first guy's kedushin, then we're not choshish at all. That the marriage should work. So Omer le Amei, so if Chista's mother said to him, what do you mean that the kedushin is not valid? The hahu yoma de kitsha, but on that day that he gave her this marble, have a beisha pruta. On that day, it just so happened, commodity exchange, whatever it was, there was worth a pruta on that day. So kedushin should be valid. So Amalah, so Chistis tells his mother very respectfully, Lav kol kaminach de asras la basra. You don't have the right to claim that the first guy's condition was valid, and therefore to say that the second person's kedushin is not chal. You can't do that. You don't have that right, halachically speaking. So, Amabez, after all, says Ophista, Lav Hainu to Yehudis Divisu to Abchia. This, in fact, is the same story as, halachically speaking, as Yehudis, the wife of Rabchia. Tahavas Latsar Leda. She was suffering a lot from the childbirth experiences that she had. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yevamos that she had two sets of twins. So childbirth was exceptionally hard for her. So Amr Lay, she said to her husband one day, oh, guess what? Amr Lay Aim, my mother happened to be telling me, Kibel Bich Avuch Kedushe Kizutras. Oh, by the way, when you were a little girl, your father made a deal with the next door neighbor and he accepted Kedushin for the next door neighbor's a right to marry you. I said, how do you like that? Sorry, I can't stay married to you anymore because I just found out that my father was Makadosh when I was a little girl. So this was her means of getting out of the marriage to Abchia. So Amr Lo, Abchia said to her, nice try, but Lav Kol Kaminach, you don't have that halachic right. De Emach, your mother doesn't have that right, I should say. De Asris Lichi Levoi, to suddenly asr you to me. As we have valid Kedushin, we've been married. All of a sudden, now your mother wakes up and says, oh, by the way, as a girl, your father was Mekadosh you to somebody else. You can't do that. You can't pull yourself out of this marriage now with that claim that when you were a girl, your father was Mekadosh you. So that's the story with Abchia's wife. So Chista now saying to his mother, in his Shiloh, same thing. You can't tell me that the day the guy gave the marble to this girl, that it was worth a pruta. If now it's not worth a pruta, you can't claim that, oh, it once was worth a pruta, and therefore the marriage to the second guy is not valid. You can't do that, says
Chista to his mother. Isn't this one of the reasons a woman who gives birth has to bring a chatas? Because she'll say things that she didn't mean.
Really? Right, so that's saying other things. This is just trying to get out of the marriage, okay. Right? Okay, so Omri le Rabbanan of Chista. So Rabbanan said to Chista, Amai, why are you rejecting this claim that the stone that was given as Kedushin by the first guy was worth a pruta? After all, Ha Omri, but they are saying, Bach adds in the word Omri, they are saying, Ika Sahadi Be'idis, that there are these witnesses in this out-of-town place, Diyadi, who can tell you for certain, Dibahu Yoma, Havabe Shavapruta, that on the day of Kedushin of the first guy, the stone he gave her, Taka, was worth a Shavapruta. So it's not just a rumor, you know, or the mother saying something that's unverified. There are witnesses out there that will tell you for a fact that day of the Kedushin, this was worth a Pruta. So that means the first guy's marriage was valid, second guy's marriage is not valid. Answers of Chista, that's very nice and all. However, Miha, Hashta Miha, Lesnehu Kaman. I don't see the witnesses. They're not here. You can tell me all you want about witnesses here, witnesses there, but Lamaisa, are they here in Basin? Are they testifying now that the marriage was valid? They're not. So therefore, I have nothing to work on. So I have no reason to disqualify the first, the second marriage. And then the Gemara says, as proof, Hainu Jeb Chanina. This is also parallel to the din of Reb Chanina. Now, Rashi gives us the context of this discussion. We know the din is that if a woman is taken captive by non-Jewish captors, we're choshes that maybe they raped her, in which case she can no longer marry a Kohen. Now, what happens, though, the Gemara says in Ksubas, if we don't have proof she was taken captive? All we know is based on her own admission, I was taken captive. But then she says, but I wasn't raped. So we believe her in that case. If we have no proof she was taken captive, except for her own admission, so she has a migu. Migu, she didn't have to admit that she was taken captive. We can believe her when she says, I wasn't raped, and therefore I'm still allowed to marry a Kohen. So the story of Reb Chanina was that Shmuel's daughters were taken captive. They were brought to Reb Chanina. There were no witnesses at the time that she was taken captive. She admitted to him that she was taken captive. She claimed that she was not raped. So he said, okay, you're mutter to marry a Kohen. They said to Reb Chanina, what do you mean? But we have witnesses living out there somewhere who saw that she was taken captive, so you can't believe her that she says I wasn't raped. So the Gemara says in response to that, here's the context. The Gemara says, Reb Chanina said, Eideha etzad asta in betei aser. Just because you have witnesses somewhere out of town somewhere that in theory could testify she was taken captive, so that therefore we should asa her on the basis of Edom who exists somewhere else who haven't come to testify in Beis Din? That doesn't mean anything. See, here also the Gemara is saying, just because you think you have Edom out there who can testify that the Kedushin was valid, but Lamaisa is not here today. I don't have Adam and Basin telling me that the Kedushin of the first guy was valid, and therefore I can't ask the second guy to her, says Rav Chisda. But when it says Abai Barava lo Sirilu lo Hajra Rav Chisda, Abai and Rava did not accept Rav Chisda's leniency here. In other words, Rav Chisda was willing to say that the second Kedushin is valid, the first Kedushin is not valid, and even if you claim there are Adam out there who say the first Kedushin was valid, but Lamaisa is not here today to testify, so I can't base myself on what you say they will say. And Chisda brought a raya from Shmuel, from the Pesach of Rabbi Chanina, by Shmuel's daughter, by being taken captive. So the Gemara now rejects that comparison. In Hekilu B'Shvuya, the fact that Rabbi Chanina was Mekel with regard to the status of the daughter of Shmuel was taken captive, that we don't have to assume that she was raped, that's because the Minavla Nafsha Gabi Shavoy, because she will do whatever she can to make herself look unappealing and unattractive to the captors, so therefore there's a svara to say that maybe she's right, maybe she wasn't raped. But Nekel Be'ishes Ish, but that doesn't give us the right to be Mekel in our Shaila, when the Shaila was the first Kedushin worth a Pruta, was it not worth a Pruta? Shaila Be'ishes Ish, was the second Kedushin valid, was the first Kedushin valid? So if you have Adam somewhere out of town that can say that the first Kedushin was a Shavu Pruta Kedushin and it was valid, so why are you being so quick to dismiss them if they're not, just because they're not here and based in at the moment? So therefore, Rav and Abaye were choshesh in Rav Chisda's case that maybe the first Kedushin was valid and the second Kedushin was not valid. And what happened was, Ishtar Mayhi Mishpacha Besura, the second husband, who Rav Chisda allowed to stay married to this woman, so he had family eventually that ended up in Surah. Upirshu Rabbanan Mina, and the Rabbanan didn't really want to, you know, intermarry with that family because they were worried that maybe the second husband was not allowed to marry this woman. But Lav Mishum Desvir Lehu Deshmuel, it wasn't because they were choshesh for Shmuel's din. Shmuel said that even though it's not Shavu Pruta here, maybe it's Shavu Pruta somewhere else, and it's a Safek Kedushin. Elam Shem Desvir Lehu Kabayin Rava. No, they were choshesh for Bayin Rava. Bayin Rava were worried that if there are Edom out of town who apparently can claim that this was a Shavu Pruta Kedushin, then you have to be choshesh for it for that reason. Fine, next case. Hu Gabra De'akdish Bishutisa. There was a man who was Makadish, a woman, with a branch, Da'asa, of some myrtle branch, Bishukam, in the street. He was Makadish, a woman, with a Hadas branch in the street. Shalchar Vacha Barhuna Lekab Dev Yosef, Kiya Gavna Mai. So Vacha Barhuna asked of Yosef, the Shaila, what's the din? Is it valid Kedushin? Is it not valid Kedushin? So, you know, the question is, I guess, is it Shavu Pruta? It's not. Shalach Lei, of Yosef, responded, Nagde, give the guy Makas Mardus, Kirav, based on what Rav said. Meaning, says Rashi, to be Mekadesh, a woman in the Shuk, in the public marketplace, is a breach of Sneas. Fascinating. So, he's Mekadesh publicly, give him Makas Mardus, teach him a lesson. We're not Makadish women publicly. That's not considered within the proper guidelines of Tznius. One of the guys in the first year pointed out, I'd say when every Kedushin goes on Instagram, the second it happens, is that not, you know, Makadish publicly? It's like nowadays, every proposal has, you know, the cameras and the iPhones, videoing and live streaming, and the whole world gets to watch it. Okay. But the Gemara says, so give Makas Mardus because Rav said you shouldn't do so publicly. And at the same time, though, you have to be choshesh. Maybe Itaka was worth a Shavu Pruta somewhere, and therefore we're choshesh for the Kedushin, and the person needs a get. Now the Gemara explains, why did Rav hold that this individual should get Makas Mardus? So the Gemara says, to Rav mangit al the Mekadesh Peshukah, because Rav would give Makas Mardus to anybody who would be Mekadesh woman publicly in the Shuk. And then there's now a long list here of other infractions, if you will, for which Rav would give Makas Mardus. Number two, Va'al de Mekadesh Bebiya, someone who's Mekadesh Bebiya. That's also considered a breach of Tznius. You get Makas Mardus for that. Va'al de Mekadesh Belo Sheduche, and somebody who's Mekadesh woman without making prior arrangements for the Kedushin. Va'al de Mevatlo Gita, and if someone sends a get to his wife with a shliach, and then he decides to mevatel the get. So he runs the risk of the woman getting the get, not realizing that it's batel, thinking she can remarry when she can't. So Rav would say that's bad. That's bad practice. I'll give you makas martis if you're mevatel again after sending it with a shliach. Va'al demasar moda agita. And if somebody does in fact give a get, and then subsequently he makes a claim to invalidate the get, claiming that he never really consented to it, and it was the puzzle, he didn't do it beratzon, etc., etc., etc. So if he's going to libelously claim that the get was puzzle, so Rav would give him makas mardus. Va'al demetzar shluchad rabbanon. And if Beis Din sends a shliach to summon someone to a din Torah, and the person that he is serving the summons to beats him up, so Rav would then, in kind, summon that guy and give him makas mardus. Va'al dechala shamti lavei tlasin yomin. And if somebody was in nidui, an excommunication for 30 days, and I guess he didn't do anything to rectify the reason why Beis Din gave him that nidui, so he would get makas mardus for being in nidui for 30 days. And finally, va'al chasna didayer bechamua. And if a son-in-law would live in his father-in-law's house, which raises the possibility of him inappropriately interacting with his mother-in-law, Rav would give him makas mardus for that as well. So the question says, didayer in chalaf lo, only if he lives there permanently, he gets makas mardus, but if he kind of like passes through, passes by, he doesn't get makas mardus. I think I'm asked, who chasna the chalaf above the chamua? Was a son-in-law who just like kind of passing by his father-in-law's house. And then I think Pshesus gave him makas mardus right away. So the question says, that was different. Who made them? Habas daima chamse mine. That was a case where there were already rumors and suspicions that the mother-in-law was already inappropriately interacting with the son-in-law. So even for a short-term visit, he got makas mardus. Now, Doi said, "Bekulu lo man gid Rav." Rav didn't give makas mardus for all these infractions. Ela alta mekadesh bebiya below sheduche, except for the case where he's mekadesh bebiya without prior arrangement for the kedushin. Some say even if he's mekadesh bebiya with prior arrangement, still he would get makas mardus. Nami as well, because mishum pitzusa, because it was considered a breach of tznius to be mekadesh a woman with bia. Okay, let's stop here by the.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Daver, tomorrow we'll have daf an hour before mincha, so daf 5:50. Good day, Shabbos to all.